Now back at our board meeting, it is now 5:40, and we'd like to welcome all board members tonight. Well, actually, not all board members. We've got Frank Stewart, Jenny Johnson, and Gary, myself, Christy Cooley. We'd like to excuse Lisa Hawkins. She's on vacation with her family. And, of course, we've got our superintendent, our business administrator, our board secretary, as well as a patron slash parent slash community helper. So we're grateful. Future candidate for the school board. So we're grateful to have you all here tonight, and we just have a couple things on our agenda. Hopefully we'll be able to have a quick meeting. opening ceremony will be led tonight by our amazing board member, Ann Geary. She will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you, Ann. I knew you could work best under pressure. Any public comment tonight, Stacey?
No.
All right. First action item is action on approval of the architect selection for Hillcrest Elementary. Business Administrator Jeff Barbin.
Okay. So we issued the SOIQ for the architect on March 29th. We received proposals from five different entities. The superintendent, business administrator, and facilities manager reviewed those entities, scored them all based on a rubric, and the top three scores from that rubric were invited to interview with the full committee. That consisted of our board president, a board member, which was Frank Stewart, our superintendent, business administrator, and facilities manager. From the interview scores, VCBO Architecture was selected as the most qualified architectural firm. And so we met with them and negotiated a fee, and we closed that negotiation and felt like we arrived at a good place with the fees that they're charging us. And so we would submit to the board and ask for approval for VCBO Architecture as the architect for the Hillcrest Elementary project.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Do we have a motion for the architect selection for Hillcrest Elementary project?
I would so move to select CVPO as our architect for the Hillcrest School.
Okay.
Any discussion?
Motion's been made by Frank. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Jenny. Do we have any questions or comments that we'd like to direct to Jeff at this time?
I know we met with them for... They were finalists for the high school, and we're very impressed with a lot of the buildings they've done. They have a really good history throughout the state and the Intermountain West, I know. So I was very comfortable when I saw this because we have had interaction with them in the past, even though I don't think we've ever used them before.
Yeah, I don't think we have either.
But they're very impressive.
They've done construction projects in the city, but not for our district. And was it 300 and some odd?
261
schools. Oh, it's exciting. They'll do a great job. Any other questions for Jeff concerning architect? All right, I have a motion to approve VCBO as the architect for Hillcrest Elementary, made by Frank, seconded by Jenny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, looks like we've got an architect. Let's get going and build a beautiful building for that community. So it'll be exciting to see that progress in the future. Second thing is action on ratification of negotiated agreements for Logan Education Support Professionals, Logan Education Association, and Logan City School District Administrators Association. Superintendent.
Thank you. In Board Book, if you open up the file that has the memo of the tentative agreement, you'll notice that there are two primary differences between this and the prior tentative agreement that you approved. I'll introduce these, and if there are additional questions, I'll let Jeff kind of dig into the details. First, on the second bullet, the information there is pretty much the same, other than if you go to the second sentence, employees may buy up to a high deductible defined contribution plan with deductibles of 2,000 individual and 4,000 family, with a $2,700 embedded deductible. That was added originally. We simply said embedded deductible, so that gave the impression that it was the $2,000. The IRS actually sets a floor on the amount of your embedded deductible, and it is $2,700. You can't have an embedded deductible lower than that. So
explain the embedded deductible. I've had it explained, but I still don't get it.
Jeff has become our resident expert on embedded deductibles and how they function. So I'll let Jeff speak to that.
So if you have a regular deductible, so on the, say, the 4,000 and 8,000 family, 4,000 individual and 8,000 family, okay, if you are a single person that's hired by the district so that you only have individual insurance, then your deductible is $4,000. If you're a family or any individual member of a family, you have to hit the $8,000 family deductible before your deductible is met. So any member of a family has to hit an $8,000 deductible. And so with an embedded deductible, then embedded makes it so that the any individual within the family is the same as the individual. So now, if one person, if it's not embedded, and one person, say, meets the deductible, they have to get to $8,000 before the deductible's met and the insurance company starts paying 80%. But with an embedded deductible, they only have to hit the $4,000 individual. One individual member of a family would hit that, or a couple, one member of a couple, on couple insurance would hit that, and then their deductible would be met at $4,000. Now, if the other person in the couple or another member of the family, then they would have to also hit the $4,000 to get to the $8,000 before the deductible is met for the family. Does that make sense? So each individual has to meet $4,000 if it's embedded. If it's not embedded, each individual needs to meet $8,000.
Or
one, yes. So that in that case, if you've got one person that maybe meets the deductible every year, you're out of pocket then. Well, not you're out of pocket, but until you meet the deductible is $4,000. The other part of that is our out of pocket maximums are also embedded, and so it's the same situation. Basically, well, the out of pocket maximum for the 2,000-4,000 plan are $6,068.50. So it's really not that, it's $850 difference. But in the 4,000, 8,000 plan, that is $6,000 and $12,000. And so it's a savings of $6,000. If you have one member that consistently every year hits that deductible, if it were just a regular deductible, out-of-pocket maximum, they'd have to go to $12,000 out-of-pocket before they meet the out-of-pocket maximum and they get their insurance paid at 100%. But with the embedded out-of-pocket maximum, that's $6,000. And so it really is a great benefit to our employees to have embedded deductibles.
Can we afford it?
That's a great question, Ann, because one of the issues and concerns that we have with insurance, because insurance is happening all the time, and that's one of the unknowns going into that, is we never know how many people will come onto our plan. You know what I mean? And so in the past we've had, and we still do, I mean, we've had a $3,000 waive that we pay people who weren't on our plan. This year that's been reduced to $1,000. But we don't know in the market how many people will decide that, you know, this plan is a better plan than what they have. And other entities that spouses work for, you know, in the Valley and wherever they work, are changing their plans all the time too. And so, yes, we can't afford it, but it will cost it. It could cost us a lot more, and so.
I just wondered if the embedded, having that embedded, but it's a requirement, correct, to have the embedded.
No, it's not a requirement. It's a benefit that HSA Health Plan offered to us for the rates that we got, and so this was our lowest. They gave us the lowest rates, but they also offered the embedded portion of that.
So that really is much better for our employees, because at first it almost sounded like it was worse.
That's what I
thought
too.
And that's why I needed to have it explained to me.
Well, and the last one that you approved was a $2,000 embedded deductible, which is better than the $2,700 deductible. But the IRS rules tell us that we can't do that, and so that's why we had to change it and re-ratify. And so it's a little bit worse on that end than it was than what you originally approved. But we also didn't know that they were offering us the out-of-pocket, the embedded out-of-pocket maximums. So that's a positive. That was something that we didn't realize had been negotiated. And so there was a little bit of confusion between our broker and the insurance company about the embedded deductible. As we were going through negotiations, he was texting them back and forth and asking if things were embedded. And so he misunderstood a little bit. I mean, they said, yes, it's embedded. And so he assumed it was the $2,000, didn't understand that there's a $2,700 IRS rule. So when that came to light, but then as part of the process, he didn't realize that they were also offering embedded out-of-pocket maximum. So so this is actually a better plan than I would say, because of the embedded out-of-pocket maximum, than what was approved and what we had understood we were getting in the last package.
For high utilizers, this is going to help our employees who have lots of health care burden.
Right. Right.
Thank you, Jeff. The other thing on here that is a change, if you go down to the very bottom, the last bullet, employees who are employed by October 1st, 2018 will receive a one-time salary adjustment of 5% of each employee's FY19 salary to be paid on October 3rd, 2018. The two things you'll see there is we just provided some clarification. So first of all, there were questions, okay, who is actually eligible for this? So we put in the October 1st, 2018 deadline. It's anyone who has been hired by that date, they are eligible. So it's employees for next year who would be eligible for the benefit. It's a 5% one-time salary adjustment, and it is going to be based off the employee's FY19 salary. So it will be based off next year's salary schedule. The reason for that is if you brought in a first-year employee, they weren't actually employed last year, so if you paid them based on what position they would have been in, there's discrepancies between what they would get compared to what an existing employee would get. So if we do it on the FY19 salary schedule and we specify that it has to be someone who's hired by October 1st, that just brings a little more clarity to the process. It doesn't change the funding significantly, but it does, it clarifies who gets it.
And the payout is October 31st.
Third, right?
Oh, is it the 3rd?
Yeah. October 3rd.
Oh, I thought originally it was.
Well, last time we had it listed as by the 31st.
Okay.
And we felt that like, well, you know, let's put the 31st. We'll put the qualification as October 1st, and then we want to pay them out. So we'll run a special payroll with this one-time salary adjustment on October 3rd.
Okay. So it's
based on who's hired by October 1st.
In some ways, it is a little bit easier to account for the money that way by running it as a separate payroll. And it just allows us to get the money to employees faster. We looked at doing it earlier, but any earlier in the year, you're still adjusting hiring. You're still getting people coming in. So the first week of October strikes a balance between that, making sure that everybody's on payroll, but also we're getting it out as quickly as possible.
And then your October 1 count.
Right.
Well, in September, you're doing all the open enrollment, so you're doing on that payroll. You know, the payroll staff have to put all of the, you know, who's on what insurance, and they have to make all of those changes before they run the payroll. So it's a very difficult payroll to try to push in anything else. Yeah. But we felt like rather than wait until the end of October, that we wanted to get this to them as soon as we could. So
before was the increment 20 on the 5 year?
The increment 20 is only on the COLA. Yeah, so the increment 20, the reason we do that is you base it on the 20th step, so you have a set value that goes to each increment. If you don't do that, then the value of your increments starts to fluctuate more, so you have a greater disparity in pay at the high end of your schedule, and it starts to affect the predictability of your salary schedule, because since the dollar amounts are different and they will vary year to year based on how many employees you have at each level, you start to get a fluctuating salary schedule. So if you pick one step and say this is the dollar amount of the increase, then you can equalize the steps across the board, which maintains the predictability of your salary schedule for employees.
I'm glad someone knew that.
And it's, and if they quit, it's just a bonus for them, correct?
The 5%?
Yes.
If someone were to be employed by October 1st and leave on October 31st, they would have received a bonus from the district.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
And they can name their firstborn child after us.
Which would pay for their penalty.
Which would pay for their penalty.
Yeah. All right. I would take action now on the ratification of negotiated agreements for the Logan Education Support Professionals, the Logan Education Association, and the Logan City School District Administrator Association.
I would so move.
Motion's been made by Ann. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Jenny. Any further comments or questions regarding this to Superintendent?
Just, I don't know, since we weren't actually in those negotiation meetings, is there anything you can share with us that would be pertinent, or is that...
Well, all of the association representatives have come back to me and said that they felt like this was a really good negotiation. Part of the reason, you know, and we've shared with you where we started this whole process. Right. You know, we had a 39% increase. We're looking at that on our insurance right now. And so the where we landed feels a whole lot better than what we were looking at going in. Now, we also need to realize that 3.7% ongoing cost of living increase is an offset from the increase to the insurance. And so we lowered the insurance value, so we increased our deductibles on the 100% paid plan. So going into this year, we've had this basically the same plan that we were paying 100%, you now have to buy up to. And we have much higher deductibles and out-of-pocket maximums on the plan that is 100% employer paid. And so we gave up some insurance in order to get that 3.7, so it's an offset. We also lowered the waive amount from 3,000 to 1,000. And so all that together allowed us then to do the 3.7% cost of living increase. But that's how that came about. That wouldn't be on the table. We were looking at, the lowest price increase that we got, even with HSA health plan now, was 18%, which was $672,000. And so basically now with the changes that we made in the insurance, we actually got a negative increase. And so instead of an increase, our insurance will be lower by 0.4%. But that's also going to be impacted on based on how many people come onto our plan versus, you know, go off of our plan, those kind of things. And so, and there's no real good way to predict those numbers. No. But I think, you know, what I've got back from the association representatives is they felt like this was a really good process. And they felt like that the outcome was good. But, you know, it looks better on paper maybe than it is, because the 3.7 sounds really good, but we got there by giving up some insurance benefits.
But isn't it true, too, that we were one of the last, if not one of the few, that provided 100% premiums? I mean, clearly that was a great advantage for our school district, and we held on to that as long as we could.
We still do.
Yeah.
And actually, I think the year before I got here, Eric Falk was saying it was that our deductibles were $5,000 and
$10,000,
I think.
Yeah, we really increased.
So this plan is still better than it was in...
Yeah. Yeah. That was that, you know, that would have been
in 2013.
We were dealing still with
right,
the,
and so I mean, you know, and it's so it's still 100% paid plan. We still have 100% paid plan. It's not as good as it was last or this year. So next year it won't be as good unless you buy up to that. But you know, and you ask us to share with, you know, all of those scenarios with mm-hmm. the associations, and as we went through that, that's the one that the associations felt like we should take, and that allowed us to do a 3.7%.
And the buy-up really isn't
living
a huge amount.
No, it's not a lot.
Yeah, it's really not that much.
And they were given the step as well, which they wanted to have.
That's right.
And then they get the 5%.
One time.
I had the opportunity to talk to Principal Sorensen at Wilson today, and she said that she's had a lot of positive feedback from her staff and faculty about it. She expressed her appreciation.
Nice.
So. one of the negotiators told me he felt like it was one of the best he's been involved with, and he also told me that he liked the way you brought the board in and said, okay, these are the hard facts, so that when you did negotiate, when you did the IBB, interest-based bargaining, they knew what they could push you to, because the board had kind of drawn the lines and said, we can do this, you figure out how to divvy up this money. And he said he felt like that openness and honesty going into it was really helpful for them. So I was pleased he said that.
Yeah. Another benefit with they offer what they call a level premium funding. And so if we do have some savings with HSA health plan, they'll give us 70% of that back. And so, that's another benefit. It's not the same as fully funding. Basically, fully funding, if the insurance company takes a loss, then they eat the loss. But if they make a profit, then they keep that. But in this situation, they've leveled our risk, and so we won't pay more. But we also have the opportunity to get 70% of whatever savings we generate back. So that's another benefit of
which encourages employee wellness and using your dollars wisely.
We had a meeting with them earlier this week to talk about some more details of the plan, and they have a number of steps that they take to decrease costs. I think we've spoken to you all previously about their practice of when you call to get a procedure pre-approved, there's a list on the website that shows, okay, if you get this procedure done at one of these facilities, because they already have a relationship with that facility, the cost is lower, we'll put this dollar amount into your HSA. And they say right up front, we'll pay. There's an incentive to leave the Valley or go to a facility where the care is still good. It's just, it's lower cost. And they have that for a wide range of procedures. They have the option, and we were discussing this for telemedicine, where you can use your phone, your computer, your iPad, and communicate with a doctor 24/7, and none of those visits count against the plan. Those are all free. It would be a benefit that we would purchase as the employer. We haven't made a final decision if that's what we're going to do, because there's a cost involved. But as we visited with them, one possibility that we walked away with would be there would be enough savings generated through a couple of other actions we could take that would pay the cost of that, which again drives down the cost of the plan for both the employee and the district. So they have a number of very concrete steps that go beyond what the traditional insurance companies will do. Traditional insurance companies will do, well, if you do this or if you do this, it might lower your costs. HSA Health Plan is saying, we're going to do this, and we're going to call you and say, hey, if you go to this doctor instead of this doctor for this procedure, we'll put money into your HSA account. They're very proactive with promoting health while minimizing cost, and they do a number of things to incentivize an employee to say, look, we want you to use the health care that you need. If you need to go to the doctor, you should go to the doctor, and that's why you have insurance, to help pay for that. We want to help you make the most financially wise decisions possible. So here are the structures that we're going to use. It was a really interesting presentation, and I'm excited to see what that potentially can do. Although there is, even with the possibility of additional people signing on to the plan, they still have some elements that I think can generate some savings for us.
I can see the benefit of that, because so many times you think just simple little things that you're like, but I still have to go to the doctor, but I already know I probably have a sinus infection.
The beast thing that I have, I could say, okay, you need to see me or not with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we just have, teachers and staff that have to take time off work to take their child in for a simple little, I just need an antibiotic. You know what I mean?
And they can do prescriptions over the telemedicine, mm-hmm.
and just
so they can take care of that.
I already know this is what my child needs. I just need to do this, but I have to go in and take time off work. I just need someone to you know, or to just say, you know, do I need to see a doctor? Do I need someone to look in their ears? You know,
right.
Or yeah, they're very simple.
They're a relatively new plan, but they have not yet given and brought back an increase to any of the companies that they work with. They've either been the same or decreases for the
Are there any school
year.
Other school districts going with them?
No school districts as of yet. There are other organizations here in the Valley. We're the first school district. There are other organizations, other businesses in the Valley that use them.
So they already
but we'd
know
be the first school.
Cache Valley Hospital,
yes.
Cache Valley Doctors, so it's not going to be we have to go to Salt Lake to get their best price.
No.
They're already working locally. Okay.
Good.
It's a very good, smart business, you know, plan idea that they're doing.
All right, so I have a motion on the table made by Ann, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and seconded by Jenny, correct?
Correct.
We've had some lively discussion on this, so are we ready to take a vote? If so, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, our amended negotiations have passed. And I believe, according to my agenda, that's all we have. So we will end this board meeting tonight at 6:06, and we'll see everyone at Candlelight. We have to be there at 8:20.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
We have the steamer, and I've learned this kind of hanger. Then you hang them on a door.
And then we can fill it with water.
Is that a close to a ring?
Take it down.
After the last one?